Sports gambling is fantastic on any game that you want to watch, or what will the president and the CEO of the Canadian Gaming Association say? We'll call him out. What are you doing to the youth of today? In about a half an hour, some people are jogging through cemeteries, and I've been told that that is disrespectful. We'll get into that as well. And apparently, Gen Z, carrying more cash than boomers. Nobody is believing that, people who came up with the study. That, and we try to find people who are in that, I don't know if it's an underworld, but who are in the street racing, the drag racing scene.
This is News Talk Tonight with Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
I have to ask you, maybe on the down low, you're one of the people who are huge, because listen, the Venn diagram of people who are into street racing and people who listen to talk radio, it's almost a circle. I can't tell you how many times I have seen and heard the street racers cranking up the talk radio before they race. It is an absolute thing. But until we get an expert from 71010, if you have some sort of insight into street racing, we'd love to hear from you. 71010, let's just have an experiment right here on the iHeart Talk Radio Network. We have two gentlemen who I'm sure would be street racers if they had cars. We have Anthony, who is 18, as one of our drivers. Anthony, make the sound of what your car would sound like as we try to discern who in our production team between Anthony and Tony sounds like they would win a drag race. Give us your car, fast car sound, your muscle car sound. Anthony.
Vroom.
Okay, that sounds like you blew an engine right there. okay, Tony, show us what your, or let us hear what your fast car, muscle car sound effect would sound like. All right. That, okay, so vote, Anthony.
No,
he wins. No. You don't get a second try, Anthony.
I said he wins.
Okay. No. 7-10-10. Who do you think would win in a drag race? Tony, the second one, or Anthony, the first pathetic one? Embarrassing. 7-10-10. Who won that drag race? As we also endeavor to find somebody who is in, I don't even know if it's an underworld, but some. I was never like one of the people who were like impressed by cool car, dude. Like, I like muscle cars and stuff, but I think they look cool. But they're like the engine and stuff being really loud. I'm trying to have a nap. 7-10-10. All right, here's the topic that I was blowing my gears over just before the break. And it doesn't matter where you're listening right now. It could be Montreal with your silly municipal. And I know it's only one park, but it could be, hey, no barking in the dog park, which is kind of odd. But in Toronto, they're entertaining this idea, only one sign on your front lawn. Now, that might sound normal, but I don't know that I walk around the streets of Toronto just like anyone in any neighborhood. I don't know where this is a problem, where houses are inundated with tons of signs. This is a problem that a boring city council is looking for, a problem they're looking to fix that does not exist, that would say that you can only have one sign on your front lawn. So if you're like, hey, we support some sort of green movement, or we are against the development of this street in our neighborhood, and you have one of those signs, that's it. If you had a renovation and the construction company gives you a bit of a discount to have a Hanks renovation company sign on your front lawn too, you can't do both. If you have a sign saying, hey, this is the proud house of a graduate from such and such secondary school, you can't. If you want to have a couple of signs on, it could be any, like, slow down, this children are playing, you can't. Am I the only one that thinks that that's ridiculous? Because I don't know what neighborhood you live in, but as I walk around my neighborhood, and I do have to walk a couple of blocks, and I'll go different ways every different day to find, just because sometimes there's a shortcut, sometimes I'm going to a streetcar, sometimes I'm taking a bike, but I don't see this being a problem. And why you would have City Hall in whatever city that you're living in try to fix this is nuts. And the other thing that they're looking at doing is they're saying, hey, if that construction company did do the renovation, you can only have that sign up for a week. And you can't have it up for like a month. And maybe you were very grateful and you want to give them a hand because they're a new business. But here is the Toronto City Councillor, Shelley Carroll, who is advocating for this sign bylaw.
In my own neighborhood, right, all over the neighborhood are these signs saying save our community because of the federal boundary realignment, the riding of Don Valley East might disappear. That's an advocacy sign. And so the big controversy here is, should you have permission to put it on a private property lawn? I think you should. And should you limit it to one per lawn? I definitely think you should, because you should see this neighborhood right now.
Who cares?
There are people who have put these signs, lined their lawn with them, almost like you would little flags
Who
on
cares?
Canada Day. They're just everywhere. And I think after a while, people get to a point where they're meaningless because there are so many of them. And when it's an advocacy sign, not an election sign, who cleans them up? When do they disappear? They're not recyclable. There's all sorts of issues. So just placing a little limit, and the fact that you have to have permission on someone's private front lawn.
I don't know. Permission. You got to go to your council. You got to go to city. Give me a break. I mean, my neighbor has a couple of signs at the beginning of their property and at the end of the property reminding people to poop and scoop if they have their dog do that on their property. But, I mean, the nerve of government to say this first
part. In my own neighborhood, right, all over the neighborhood are these signs saying save our community because of the federal boundary realignment, the riding of Don Valley East might disappear. That's an advocacy sign. And so the big controversy here is, should you have permission to put it on?
From who? From you? Go to heck. I was about to say hell, but I've got some text messages and some emails whenever I've said hell before. So heck, I can't imagine. We're going to be a bunch of busy. What are the problems in your municipality, in the city of Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, Windsor, wherever you're listening, that your municipal council would be doing that? Excuse me. We see that you have an advocacy sign to not change the zoning, but you also have a sign celebrating the graduation of your son and or daughter from such and such high school. You can't do both. Go to hell. I should tell people about the other argument that I had with Shelley Carroll once upon a time. Here is Steve, who is in Peterborough. Steve, do you think that City Hall should be telling you, hey, you've exceeded your sign limit? Yeah, but one is for, hey, I love my community, don't pave over that park. And the other is for, I don't know, slow down because kids are playing. Do you think that City Hall should be telling you what you can do there?
I think we need to fire everybody at City Hall. They're all overpaid, and there's way too freaking many of them if they can run around and see what I have on my line for a sign. Like, good Lord, man, give yourself something better to do with your time. Like, I don't know, get a real job and stop sucking up taxpayer dollars to fund your vacations and your dream houses. This isn't so they can have all their signs.
Here,
they
here.
They gotta go, man.
Here, here. Here, here.
Government.
You
many
knock on my door telling me.
Paid.
Thank you. Thank appreciate it. Did it sound like I wasn't listening to the end of him? I kind of wasn't. I thought he was finished. I would love for her to. Okay, Lenny, I have a little bit of time. The other time I had a bit of a standoff with Shelley Carroll. The police chief had decided on his own without. Because, by the way, the police, they're our police. So your municipality, they're your police. So then the police chief decided that, hey, all of our new police cars are going to be this color. And some of them were stealth that you couldn't see. I was like, hey. Anybody have something to say about that? Like, I don't know, Torontonians, like councillors? And she was like, oh, do you want the bad guys to be able to see the cars? No, I want people in the community to be able to see the cars so they'd be able to flag them down. Then the next day on the radio, she's agreeing with me after she trashed me.
The Stay in Your Car, In the Driveway radio show. Yep. Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Somebody texted in, why are you surprised that a politician flip-flopped when they found out their opinion wasn't popular? I don't even know how many people found out about her opinion. I was talking to her off the air. If you're just joining us, I'm talking about a Toronto councillor, Shelley Carroll. I was like, hey, Shelley, you're on the Police Services Board, basically, which is the board of directors for the police in your city, because the police are us. They work for us. That should be something that you see and experience every single day. They work for us. That's not an anti-policing thing. That's just like when the chief of police, Mark Saunders, who's running to be mayor now, he decided, hey, I like different colors. And he's like, hey, I like different colors. I'm going to have police cars be different colors. Who did you consult with that on? Me, I just like different colors. And he made the police cars different colors. Some of the early ones were stealth, so you could hardly tell. And I went to Shelley Carroll, who was on the police services board, and I was like, do you think that's a good idea? You can't see the cop car? And she's like, oh, Jim Richards thinks that you should be able to see the cops coming from a mile away. And I was like, I don't know. You think policing is more sneaking up on people or people feeling safe in a community and knowing who they should be able to approach? Anyway, she then changed her mind. But somebody saying to me on text board, you shouldn't be shocked that politicians flip-flop. What are you, a doof? I don't even know what that is. But I will agree. I am a doof. Thank you very much. Now, let's just get back to, because we were talking about Shelley Carroll, a counselor in Toronto, but I didn't think that this topic, I'd like to think when you do a national show, you've decided with your producers that these topics are not regional. Our topics reach across province. I believe in topics without borders. That's right. When you do a national show, topics without borders. And so just imagine your municipality, like in Montreal, hey, you can't have your dog bark in that dog park. All right. People across the country know, hey, topics without borders. We can relate to that. And in Toronto now, they're thinking about, hey, why does that one house? This is a councillor going, you know what? I get paid to have the great ideas here, around here. I'm a councillor and I know better than everybody else. And why does that one house have two signs? What? Yeah, they got two signs. They got a slowdown sign, kids are playing, and they have, hey, don't rezone that park into a building sign. We can't have that. So I just wanted to get one more call in on that one, and that would be Jason in Ottawa. Jason, go ahead.
Hey, how are you, Jim?
Good, thank you, Jason.
Yeah, I was just saying, it's just funny. People pay taxes for property too much nowadays anyways. And they're going to try to tell you, too, what you can and cannot put on your lawn, which is kind of dumb. And it's like, I just honestly think they got nothing else to do and just pretending, looking for attention to invent something, I think, pretending that they're geniuses, like you said, right?
Yeah.
Coming up with these plans.
Yeah, like she's talking about her ward, like apparently there is a huge problem in her ward. They're going to get rid of it. They're going to... They're you know, I don't want to call it gerrymandering, but they're, because of population, they're changing, I forget if it's a federal riding or a provincial riding, but anywhere they're going to change the boundaries, and they don't want to get change the boundaries. But so you're going to come up with a solution for a problem that's going to exist until they make the decision, but you've come up with a new law forever and ever and ever because it's such a huge problem. Somebody has two signs. I can't imagine somebody having a meltdown because somebody had two signs. I would love, by the way, thank you for your phone call, Jason. I've always said that I would love to man the complaint phone calls that might come in to a city hall like in Montreal or Ottawa, and you're like, hello, Montreal City Complaint Line, except it would be in French or English. I pull yourself together, ma'am. I can't handle it. What is the problem, man? The neighbor has two signs. Oh, my goodness. Are you outside right now, close to the signs? Yes, I am. You better get inside, because just the visual of that eye pollution could be very disturbing. You need to get inside right now. We'll send the bylaw officer over right away. I thought bylaw officers were important, doing real work. They are, actually. They have way better things to do than to be monitoring how many signs are in there. It's just unbelievable to me. Like, absolutely unbelievable that that's what, you know what? I actually don't mind Shelley Carroll, despite what it sounds like right now. So, do I even bother doing this next topic? If you've heard, and we're still looking for somebody at 71010, in almost every municipality, I'm sure, across the country, as the weather gets better, there's going to be more street racing. Sometimes those things go sideways. And I'm not just talking about drifting, but sometimes they can be very, very dangerous. And that's why there's a huge crackdown in many municipalities in Ontario. So I asked our production team, Anthony and Tony, to come up with their best muscle car impressions. And the votes right now are astounding. People think Anthony, 70% of the votes are voting for Anthony. Listen to Anthony's pathetic car. I don't even know what happened at the end there. That is, you're in the ditch.
That's exhaust misfire, you know, when the, you know, at the end of the car.
I don't know. That is leading Tony, who sounded like more of a reasonable fast car. All right, you can vote at 71010 on which car you think is faster. Apparently, you guys want to go for a ride in this one. you're listening to Talk Radio. That's right, the national talk radio show on the iHeart Bell Talk Radio Network. There was something that I wanted to get into, but I'd rather save it for another day. I only have a window of 3 minutes. So we have another slot open later on, Tony? We don't. Well, you know what? Should I set it up now? And then maybe we could even do it tomorrow. But I was mentioning, like, I think a month ago or three, I didn't look it up, but I was talking about somebody being yelled at when they were running through a cemetery. Because somebody who was screaming at someone thought that it was disrespectful to run through a cemetery. Cemetery have roads. They have great landscaping. They're quite beautiful. And I don't think that if I had my loved one buried in a cemetery, I don't know how you would get to that conclusion that it is disrespectful to be jogging through a cemetery. In fact, 1-855-633-1010. You know what? We have to do this at another time. Maybe 71010. I don't want to get in the way of the voting, though. Versus. That guy's apparently losing to this. But jogging through a cemetery is disrespectful? I mean, listen, I know Montreal and Ottawa and Windsor all have, like, beautiful cemeteries, old cemeteries. There's one in Toronto called Mount Pleasant Cemetery, which is viewed more of as a park, where you see people, you know, on the weekends walking and strolling because they have great landscaping. And I don't know that they're just, hey, stay out of here because you running by my grandmother, she wouldn't appreciate you. She's my grandmother is buried beside my grandfather. And if you go running past my grandfather in your Lululemons, then all hell is going to break loose. And if dead granddad is looking at you in your Lululemons, then that is disrespectful. Let's give that a little more time tomorrow, because I do think it is a good one. We've run out of time. So again, 71010 Anthony or Tony. Who everybody. Who would win in a street race? 7-10-10.
Welcome back to News Talk Tonight with Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
All right, folks, coming up still on the show, we're experiencing in Quebec and in Ontario a Rex block. That's a weather term. What is it? David Phillips from Environment Canada will explain it a little bit later on, but we're in the middle of it right now. Nonstop, commercial-free, over the next 4 days, just the way you like it, more Rex block than ever before. And in 15 minutes, there's no way this study is right. Gen Z, that's like 10 years of age to 25, are carrying more cash than boomers. There's no way that can be true. If you did not know, there is a battle going on in the streets of Canada right now, are trying to deal with two different things, and those things are, well, it's one thing. It's street racing, and we're trying to find somebody from the streets to talk about that. But until we do, we've decided to challenge our production team. Anthony is one of them. Do you think Anthony sounds faster than Tony? First Anthony. Vroom. Doesn't sound very fast to me. Sounds like he blew an engine. Vroom. Versus Tony. Vroom. All right. Street racing. Why can't all of it be done in a safe environment over the confines of AM radio? Single-handedly saving AM radio with polls like this at 7-10-10. That's Anthony. Tony is the more aggressive sounding one. So give us a vote, 7-10-10, Tony or Anthony. P.K. Subban's father is a part of a movement to perhaps stifle or draw back or pull back the advertising of gambling on almost any sporting event that you watch these days.
We know the part of the brain that's responsible for decision making in our young people is not fully developed until you're about 25. So this makes them very vulnerable to gambling and to be addicted by it.
Peter Donnelly is a professor emeritus at the University of Toronto. He's done a lot of studying about sport policy, gambling, and politics, and how they interact.
Gambling is an addictive practice. It's the only one recognized by the American Psychiatric Association as a non-substance-based addiction, and it's harmful. I mean, one of the things I hope never happens in Canada is what's happened in England, who's been at this longer than Canada, and there is a support group of parents whose children, who've lost children to suicide because of their addiction and their indebtedness.
I talked to some people who said that they wouldn't watch sports any longer with their kids, which I thought was very dramatic, but they were very eloquent. And one guy is like, you know what, I bounce back. During commercial break, I'll try to, you know, flip around and then bounce back. But our callers were concerned as well.
Everybody thinks they can beat this, and you can't. The biggest fact that nobody ever talks about is that the second leading cause of suicide is compulsive gambling.
I think number it's gone out of hand. You know, I've been watching sports. I'm 42 years old now, and I've been watching, you know, with my dad since I was a young guy. And I love sports. I play sports. But I just see it's become a culture where it just used to be, you know, people would have pools and whatnot. But now it's all over the place. And
it's even embedded in the broadcast, where it's not just the commercial, it's embedded in the broadcast.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it has to be treated as any other policy for advertising any vice, whether it's...
So we thought we'd reach out and talk to the president and the CEO of the Canadian Gaming Association, and that is Paul Burns, who joins us right now. Paul, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
A recent report says kids as young as 8 report gambling addictions. Advocates say calling out sports betting ads is a good start. Do you advocate for all of these different companies that we see with commercials on, you know, hockey or basketball or baseball games?
Yes, companies. We represent companies that operate in the regulated gaming environment in Canada.
And what would you say about the concerns we just played for you?
I mean, people have, obviously there's concerns people have, but there's a lot of misconceptions. There's a lot of misunderstandings of what's occurred here. What has come about thanks to two things. One, in 2021, the federal parliament changed the rules to permit legalized sports betting in Canada.
Yep.
So Canadian-based regulated operators could operate sports betting. Canadians have had unrestricted access to internet gaming since its inception. An example, about $1.5 billion a year was leaving the country to offshore markets. Canadians have had access to these many unregulated sites. In April of 2022, the province of Ontario brought about a regulated gaming environment for all online gaming. So they've brought regulatory standards to the activity, which comes with controls on advertising.
What are the controls? It seems like a free-for-all.
Well, you're talking about volume, but within those ads, there's a very lengthy list of things that operators can not claim in their advertising, not do. And the standards are quite robust. There's other measures. Think TV, which reviews all television commercials that go on the air in Canada, have their own standards. So people are concerned. I think there's a newness to some of this, and the fact that we've had gambling advertising for decades in this country. And so there is some newness to this. But what's come about is that there's a stronger regulatory environment behind it, greater consumer protection. So it's very, very hard for a minor to get access to a regulated gaming site that's offered in the province of Ontario. A very robust account opening procedure, which involves providing identification, it's verified. Your identity is verified. Your location is verified. So it's very difficult.
So you don't think there'll be any correlation when we see numbers? And again, there is a newness to it. But when we see numbers, you don't think that it will show that younger people, as soon as they turn 18, will be going through the roof in terms of problems caused by gambling? Do you argue about the problems of gambling, by the way? Are you going to push back on any of those stats we heard?
No, I disagree with the second leading cause of suicide in this country, because coroners actually don't investigate a lot of the reasons behind suicide.
Okay. But you think because of the prevalence, you think because of the prevalence of, it's like saying you can have a beer commercial, but you can't show anybody drinking the beer, so things are going to be okay. Don't blame us for when somebody becomes an alcoholic. I'm not saying that I think it should be banned. No. I question how many commercials should be allowed within a sports broadcast.
That's a good point to discuss, because, in fact, the two major broadcasters in the country do have restrictions on the amount of volume of advertising they do have on sports broadcasts. And there is also other stakeholders involved in this, between sports leagues who have formed partnerships, who have set boundaries and controls around how advertising should occur within their product. The broadcasters, in terms of the volume they're willing to permit, and then the gaming regulators or gaming operators, which have to follow the regulatory regime in terms of what their ads can contain, in the sense of not appealing to people under the age of 25.
There might be all sorts of things that you might not be able to say in an ad, but as long as you're saying gamble, 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 gamble on sports and this the kind of stuff, and here are the odds baked within the broadcast of the game, it seems problematic to me, despite all the things that they might not be able to do. People are reacting to what they're doing, not what they don't see.
Well, what you see is that the rates of problem gaming in Canada have been very stable for over a decade. And the fact we've had, and people have had access to online sports betting through unregulated offshore sites since the internet gaming began in the early 2000s. So without many of those sites didn't have any restrictions from sign up to controls, limits. Operators in Ontario are required to monitor player play. So they give risk assessments to all players, and they will have interventions with players when their play profile may change.
Okay. Paul, I'm wondering, I've got a hard commercial break right here. Would you be able to hold on for the next segment?
Yes.
Paul Burns is the president and the CEO of Canadian Gaming Association. We'll continue our conversation with him, 71010. If you have a question for him, I can relay it to Paul. He is a person who is representing many of the commercials that you would see on TV during sporting events, next on the iHeart Talk Radio Network.
The reason auto manufacturers are taking AM radios out of cars. Jim Richards and News Talk Tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
We were going to be joined by Jessica Morehouse, who's a money expert, to try to give us a reaction to what I thought was a ridiculous study that can't be true, that says Gen Z, which is ZZ, whatever generation you want it to be, folks, that they are walking around with cash and using cash more than Gen X and more than boomers. How could that be? There's apparently a good reason behind it. We'll talk to Jessica tomorrow. Right now, we're continuing our conversation. Your text messages are welcome at 71010. It's a conversation that people have been having for a while about being inundated whenever you watch a sporting event by commercials for, I don't know, there seems like there's more than six main companies that are advertising. I know that there are tons of companies, but the ones that are just inundating your eyeballs all of the time. One of my biggest problems isn't even the gambling aspect of it. It's just that if like Budweiser had one commercial and they only played it over and over and over again, I'd be like, do you have another commercial already? I get the point, but I'm getting bored with your one darn commercial. But there are problems with gambling, and we've gone from, you know, governments that see all of this money leaving the country and they want a cut of that pie. They're like, okay, we can tax that. So now in certain jurisdictions, in my reading of it, would be that we've gone from zero to 100. I think it should be illegal to have celebrities to be a part of this and advertising to your kids. We're having a conversation right now with a man who represents the industry. He's the president and CEO of Canadian Gaming Association. His name is Paul Burns. Now, I guess the argument that you're trying to make, Paul, and I don't mean that in any sort of tone, but you're arguing that there are all sorts of checks and balances by all of these different players whose commercials that we're seeing that will not allow kids under the age of 18 to participate.
It's in the province of Ontario, it's 19, and that's correct.
19. Okay. But you don't think that that's pretty, I'm sure kids are finding other ways to place wagers. I know people who still use their guy, and maybe every person under the age of 19 doesn't have a guy, but it's still selling and imprinting this idea of gambling to them. And a lot of the research says that, just like any other addiction, that this could be very harmful to people.
The fact that the ability to advertise regulated gaming is because we want people to gamble on those sites that have the levels of protection and regulation and oversight. If you banned all advertising, people would see gambling sites, but they wouldn't. Would they know whether they're regulated or not? They know that they are the right, because that's the environment we have in the rest of Canada outside of Ontario. Is people playing on sites, they don't know where they even exist. And there are no controls. There were no, your simple sign-up procedure for a lot of the sites outside of Ontario were providing an email. And then you can make a deposit.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, that by bringing in regulation and oversight in Ontario for online gaming, it's ensuring that minors can't access unless their parents give them access, which they shouldn't. That's about the only way it can happen. And in 1 year of operation, there's been no violations, no reported violations. And the fact the systems are, because it's run by technology.
You still don't think it's problematic for anybody over 18? Because it seems like your argument is here, we want to make sure that people know that they're gambling with safe sites, and we don't care. I'm not saying that you don't care, but it's like people are arguing with you like gambling is a real problem, and your answer is, hey, these things are regulated, so you know, when we hear when we hear things like this,
gambling is an addictive practice. It's the only one recognized by the American Psychiatric Association as a non-substance based addiction.
And to hear, hey, but we're making sure minors, there's rules within this of how people might be going down this road that is problematic for them.
We've had widespread gambling in Canada since the early 90s. The rates of problem gambling have been fairly static in that period. Between 0.5% and 1.5% of the population are what we would refer as problem gamblers with serious addiction issues. There's others that have risk profiles, and that's where the industry works very, very hard in this country to ensure that we promote healthy play, that people understand that gaming is entertainment. That it is
how so? I mean, in these commercials, I see in really small fine print something that might be some sort of a disclaimer. It hardly seems like
fine print, and in fact, that promoting where people can get help has been part of the industry.
In the commercials that we see in hockey games right now,
yeah, Jim, there's ability to advertise comes with a regulated environment.
Okay,
that's if you don't want gambling to be advertised. You're just going to assume that that's going to solve the problem, and I think that's foolish.
Okay, here's a couple of comments from some of our texters at 71010. Totally disagree. I'm a compulsive gambler and have been for baseball games for a long time. I have seen over one baseball game, over 50 betting commercials during the game, and likely more. To say this is not going to entice gamblers with an issue is both absurd and unethical. That's from a texter.
Yeah. And people that have gambling problems, yes, advertising is not for that percentage of the population that have those controlled issues and have had serious problem gaming addictions. Yes, advertising like that can be problematic for some. We understand that.
Yeah.
But that's where, again, to say that removing all advertising instead of promoting gambling in a responsible way.
Do you think that it could be changed? I don't know how you promote gambling. Can you promote alcohol? I guess you can promote alcohol in a responsible way, but
there's very similar guidelines for alcohol and gaming.
Yeah.
In this point, and that's in terms of the guidelines and rules which you can and can't do in regard to advertising, and so that's. There is experience.
Do you think the industry and the government can do better in terms of parameters and like taking celebrities out of these commercials? Is there anything that you would advocate as being a good idea?
See, we started with when the market in Ontario opened, for example, the industry supported the removal of advertising bonuses and incentives. So in a lot of U.S. advertising, you will see people offering free bets. Or we'll match your deposit up to $1,000. We supported not banning that in Ontario in the regulations.
Yep.
Because it creates an unhealthy relationship to start with a player when you're enticing them with free bets.
Okay.
So we said no to that.
I've got 50 seconds left before the news at 9 o'clock. I wonder if you would support like a review of all of this after a certain time.
We are doing that right now.
Okay.
That's what's prompted this media discussion at the AGCO. Said after 1 year of the market, they would begin a consultation with advertising, and we're looking at that and participating in it actively with them.
And you're open to any of the recommendations that might come from it?
We will support the recommendations that come out. We want to work with them to understand the experience that here in Ontario, people love to draw comparisons from other jurisdictions. We think there's learning to be drawn from the Ontario market, from the Ontario experience. We're working with them.
Paul, I appreciate your time. We've got 9 o'clock news right ahead. Paul Burns, President and CEO of the Canadian Gaming Association. I did know of that review, folks. But I do think changes need to be made. I'm Jim Richards. This is News Talk Tonight.